Okay, thanks. Thank you again, Michelle. Okay, so last time, this is in the end the continuation, but it is a separate study. But just to refresh our memory from last time. So last time we spoke primarily about the sugya of Sheikhar Shel Akko and the sugya on Avodah Zarah Lama Aleph, which presents this sui generis, this unique prohibition of Sheikhar, which unlike the other prohibitions of Chasnos, right, the other prohibitions which are loosely translated about intermarriage, but we'll come back to that in just a second, is the prohibition of Sheikhar. So while most of them are formulated like Bishul Akum or Pas Akum, as being prohibitions which inhere in the object itself, right? If you cook something, if a guy cooks something, so it is now not kosher on the level of Derabanan, and the way we pass them, the Rashba against the Ra'ah, even the Kalim, even the pots and pans need to be kashered. And it's as if it's a not kosher thing on a Derabanan level. Sheikhar, the Gemara thinks, is not that. As the Tosas read notes, it's a contextualizer. And that's why the Gemara says that Sheikhar ceases to be a problem if you leave the bar, if you leave the store where it's sold. It's a contextual prohibition that cuts both ways. At Bishul Akum, if the guy cooks the food, so even if you eat it outside his house, it remains not kosher. If you have kosher food in his house, it remains kosher. Sheikhar is not that way. If you drink it in the bar, so then it is not kosher. If he made it, but you drink it outside the bar, so then it is totally permitted. And we discussed then what exactly the parameters of that prohibition are. And noted the range of positions and their implications. You have the position all the way in the Mekel position of the Rama, that this is limited to date beer, to expensive beers. The positions of Tosos, which are Nifsak and Shulchan Aruch, that it's limited to cases where it's on a consistent basis and it's in the store, but maybe once in a while in his house is a different type of context, and therefore it's permitted all the way at the other. And you have the position of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, who thinks that this is not even limited to alcohol at all. It includes coffee, it includes tea, it's all drinks. I will just note, as a parenthetical addition to last time, somebody who was listening to the Shiur on YU Torah emailed me to suggest that coffee, we shouldn't take the Ivitz's position as saying that coffee is standing in for all drinks. And then, because he noted that coffee was a particularly chashuv drink when the Ivitz is writing, so maybe he still thinks that it's only chashuv drinks you can't have with non-Jews. I don't think that's true. It doesn't fit the language of the Ivitz. What does seem to be true, though I'm in the middle of researching it, I just have to finish it. I emailed a professor who specializes in coffee, and there is actually a book on the reception of coffee by the Jews. There's more than one book. There's several books on this topic. But one of the things that I think is relevant, which would strongly modify the position of the Ivitz, is that coffee was considered by many cultures, and still is by some cultures, by Mormons, by Islam, but this was standard when the Ivitz was writing, considered a like alcohol, right? The effects of caffeine were considered, right? They said they were the inverse of alcohol, right? I mean, which they are, but it was, right? Now we sort of know that it's the inverse of alcohol, to the point where this actually has implications in American law. I'm not sure in Canadian law. I couldn't find it. But in American law, it's illegal. I think this is true in Canada also. It's illegal to sell what's called alcoholic energy drinks. I don't know if you know this. Right? Because alcoholic energy... So in America, it's just illegal. Because alcoholic energy drinks, because the stimulants in caffeine are anti-alcohol, when you combine them, you don't realize you're drunk, but you are drunk. Right, so you end up doing even more dangerous things. So it could be that the Ivitz was saying that it's not limited to alcohol, it's limited to stimulants. Right? So that is my sort of parenthetical comment, which I haven't seen anyone actually write lehalacha, but that's because I haven't gotten my hands on the book.
Gave a whole shiur on it last year, in case you want to.
Oh, there you go. Okay, then I'll ask Noah.
Noah Chessis has the origins of coffee. First time it's mentioned in halacha.
I looked through a little bit through that. I haven't seen anyone who made this particular suggestion. The reason the Yavitz included coffee within Sheikhar was because it had stimulant, which was viewed as in the same ballpark as alcohol, like the Mormons.
It wasn't Oil al Shulchan HaMelech, or was the Hashim said.
So that's what the person who emailed me suggested. I don't think it fits in the language of the Ivitz. It could be that's what drove the Ivitz, but I think what probably drove the Ivitz, and this, again, I'm not going to go back to that shear, but if you look in the part in the whole truth of the Yavetz, you do get the feeling that the reason he includes coffee is because of the stimulant properties, because he thinks it's similar to wine, right? Because both of them have stimulants. So, anyways, but what we noted last time is that that stands in for a more sort of philosophical or, you know, or a, for a broader Weltanschauung, a worldview of... I was a Talmud of Lichtenstein. This is like, I have to like, I actively have to stop it. My first paper, when I came back from Gush in YU, the professor looked at me, he's like, there's something about this paper that's just like, I can't put my finger on it, but the English, there's something weird about it. And I said, look, I've been in Israel for the last 2 years, and most of the English I heard was from Lichtenstein. He's like, that's it. It's Lichtenstein English. Because he knew him. So like, you know.
Basically, you're saying you're smart.
What? Or I've forgotten other English, but whatever. okay.
Noted. Fighter.
You can't let that go.
He didn't say that as a compliment.
Are you kidding me?
He didn't say that as a compliment. He told me not to write that way. He said that's how they wrote in the 50s, and not to write that way. And it was Will Lee, you know, classic. Okay. So, but that's not the whole picture, right? Whatever limitations/. Endorsements of a relationship with non-Jewish world that develops from the sugya of Sheikhar has to be modified with its sister sugya, which is the sugya of Mesibot Shel Akum, right, of parties with non-Jews, which, as we'll see, can be broadly or narrowly defined, but it seems to directly tackle the question of what is the place of, what is the halachic status of social interactions with non-Jews in a group setting, right? We'll leave it as vague as possible. So that begins in a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Chet. The Gemara says as follows: Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yisrael shebechutz laretz, a Jew who lives in diaspora, ovdei avodat kochavim b'taharein, they are idol worshippers in purity. What does that mean? Keitzad ovdei kochavim she'asa mishte livno, v'zimen kolayudim she'ibiro. What's going to happen? You're going to live in the diaspora, and the non-Jews are going to make a party. They're going to make a wedding, and they're going to invite all the Jews. They're going to invite everybody. Even though you eat your own food, you drink your own whatever, right? You have your own waiter. The Torah considers it as if you ate from the karbanot, from the sacrifices of Avodah Zarah. Shene'emar v'kara lecha v'achalta mizivcho. Because the pasuk says, he will call to you, which Chazal expound as, he will invite you. V'achalta mizivcho. When he invites you, it is, this is how they're reading it, it is as if you are eating from his karban. Right? The simple read is, he'll call you and you will eat his karban. Chazal are reading it, from when he invites you, it is as if you ate his karban. So the Gemara says, ve'ema ad achil. So maybe you should say that you only violate the prohibition once you actually eat the food. The Gemara says, no, amar kra im kein ni makra ve'achalta mizivcho. So then the pasuk should just say, and you, the problem is you're eating his karban. Mai vikara licha. So what's the problem when it says, and he shall call you or invite you, mishas kriya, that you begin violating as soon as he invites you. Presumably, he invites you and you say you're going to come, right? You RSVP, yes, presumably. So the second he invites you to a party and you, let's assume you RSVP, yes, you start violating this prohibition. Hilkach, so therefore, call Tilson Yeoman, Bain Omar Le Machmasi Lula, Uvain Lo Omar Le Machmasi Lula, Usser. So then, for 30 days after the party, right, whether he tells you that he's inviting you to a subsequent post-party, or he just invites you over, you have to assume that, you know, they're in the middle of Shavar Brachos, or their 30-day celebrations, so any party he has is part of this mishteh, is part of this celebration. Again, we're going to have to figure out what the difference is between the first celebration and the second celebration. Mikan va'elach, but after 30 days, he amar le machmas yilula aser. If he tells you that he's inviting you as part of the celebration, so then you can't go. V'ilo amar le machmas yilula, and if he doesn't, after 30 days, say, I'm inviting you as a follow-up party for my son's wedding, share. So the Gemara says, v'chi amar le machmas yilula ad emas. Now, for how long, when he says, it's part of my son's wedding, do you actually have to take that seriously, right?
Why
you know,
would it matter? What if it was just a new party?
Well, that's where we're going to come to. Right? So, what's clear in the Gemara is that there are parties that are prohibited, and then parties that are not within that category, right? So, what we have to figure out is where in the middle right, where in the middle the prohibition stands. The Gemara doesn't say. All the Gemara says is that anything which is associated with wedding is problematic, and anything which isn't, isn't. But the Gemara doesn't clarify what type of party it is that isn't, and what would be considered a new party, right? So that's what glares at you in the Gemara. Yeah.
And this Gemara is not tied into where the concern was, as we touched on before, that v'chatam is called the Hainu, that it's for the kufis of Zara.
So we're going to see in a minute. We'll see whether that's true, and that's going to be one of the central questions, is what is the nature of this prohibition? So the Gemara, but let's just get through the Gemara, and then we'll see it in just a second. So the Gemara says, Amar HaPapa, Atreser Yarche Shasa. For 12 months, you have to assume this is the still party time. But after that, right, if he's saying, I'm celebrating my wedding, right, 7 years later, that's a nice romantic sounding thing, but you're not, right? 7 years later, that is no longer the wedding celebration. He can call it an anniversary party if he wants, and maybe that will be a separate problem, right? But to say this is just, you know, a continuous celebration from the wedding 7 years ago, that we don't take seriously. And before the wedding, before this big celebration, when does it begin to be prohibited? From when they start making the beer, right? They start brewing the beer. Right? They take the barley and they put it in the brewery. Is it true that after 12 months is permitted? After 12 months he visited this idol worshiper. Vishame Daodi, and he heard that the idol worshiper thanked his God that he came to this celebration. Uperish v'loachal. So at that point, he didn't eat anymore. So the Gemara says, "Shani Rav Yitzchak Bereid of Mesharshia Dadam Chashavu." So Rav Yitzchak was different because he was an important person and had to be extra stringent himself. So from this Gemara, we have a lot of questions. The first question is, in terms of simply what is the party here? We have our outer extremes. We know that a wedding is clearly within this category.
You and the first question is that it says b'chustaretz.
What?
Not b'chustaretz. It's like a meal.
What?
It says like this.
Well, the assumption is because they're non. You're living amongst the non-Jews.
So,
that's the assumption, right? Because they're just describing a mitzios.
But is wedding for sure? Is that
what? Well, I mean, he said whatever.
So that's a
okay. Comment. Let's assume, right? It clearly means at least wedding for a son, right? Where you draw the limit is what we're gonna have to figure out.
Perfect.
And it maybe. And then it assumes that there are some parties, and then it assumes that there are some parties which are permitted, but it doesn't tell you the parameters. Right? It says there is a line at which it's considered a mishta, which is aser, and one which is mutter. That's question one. Question two, we have to figure out is, okay, well, why is this prohibited? And right, what hints do we have in the Gemara, and what implications might there be? So the Gemara frames it, on the one hand, as an Isra Avodah Zarah, right? They were worried that the non-Jew will, right, thank his God. Right, so you might be tempted to say that it's clear that this Gemara is talking about idolatry and therefore limited to idol worships. You might think that, but there's strong evidence in the Gemara that that's not true. Namely, right, if we read the Gemara carefully, right, we might be tempted to think that, and some people will think that, but it's not obvious that that's true. Right, because in the Gemara said that actually is mutter. Right, the guy went after 12 months. He heard him thanking his God, and it was still permitted for him to eat. It was just a chumrah that he didn't, which tells you that the main prohibition may not be connected to Avodah Zarah. Right, the fact that he happened to worship Avodah Zarah may not be your problem. Now, so you could say, well, the original problem is about Avodah Zarah, but within 12 months it is your problem, and after 12 months it's not your problem. Or you could say, no, the fact that the Gemara is willing to wave away the concern of Avodah Zarah, right, if the original concern was about Avodah Zarah, so then you might think that the prohibition's about Avodah Zarah. But if the Gemara is willing to waive the possible concern of Avodah Zarah, it sounds like the original prohibition is something else entirely. So that's what we have to figure out, right? Which of those... What? Right, so what you have to say is, it's true, right? You don't want him worshipping Avodah Zarah, but it's not your fault anymore, right? The question here is it your fault or not? The third thing...
Don't you want him serving
what?
Why do you care?
Probably, Shem Elohim Acherim Lo Yishama Al Picha. Right, that there is a separate prohibition discussed in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that you can't cause someone else to worship idols.
But
right?
He's not
that's why.
Causing him to.
So that's what the Gemara assumes in Maskana. Yeah. Right, that in that case it's not really his fault because he's just choosing to do it. But if you were to cause it, right, the Gemara in the throughout the first parak most of it is discussing the prohibition to do business with non-Jews during the holiday season. The Gemara says the reason is because Azul Modei, right? He'll go and he'll thank his God, right? And the reason it's prohibited is, right? Shem Elohim Acherim Yisham Alpicha. Now, sometimes that has surprising implications, right? There was a years ago when I was in YU, so we had a panel.
Thank God when I don't want to deal with Jews.
What?
I thank God when I don't deal with Jews.
So there was a
that's
panel.
We'll deal with that.
We will get to that. So there was a panel discussion on a Friday night, and two of the panelists were Rosenzweig and Dr. Berger. Both of them are really rabbi doctors with PhDs in medieval Jewish history. But one, you know, his day job is Rosh Hashiva, and one of his day job is the dean of the graduate school in Jewish studies of Revel.
David Berger.
Yeah. So someone asked the both of them. Well, it was them and Hillel Davis, who was the vice president of student affairs. So someone asked a shaila, at which point he said, right, I'm ducking out of this question, right? But someone asked, he said, I have a Hindu coworker, and they're religiously vegan, but I didn't realize they were religiously vegan. I thought they were religiously vegetarian. So I made a cake for my coworker's birthday, and I had eggs in it. So do I have to tell them post facto that they ate something that was prohibited according to their religion?
The guy asked this question.
What?
Yes. Guy made a cake.
Why was the guy making
else?
A cake? That's the first question.
That's the biggest
topic. That's not why. Hold on.
Okay.
You did what?
So they didn't ask that question in it. So Rosenzweig.
Why you?
Exactly. Change of gender roles. Yeah. So Rosenzweig. As I said, you know, whose day job is Rosh Hashiva, said, well, you know, I think that it'll be a Kiddush Hashem, she'll appreciate the honesty, show how, you know, honest Jews are, right? And everyone's like, oh, that sounds really nice, it sounds really open-minded. And then David Berger, who's, you know, supposed to be the academic, said, no, it's Asur Midaraisa, because if you know anything about Hinduism, if she's actually as devout as you say she is, then in order for her to do tshuva, she will have to worship Avodah Zarah. And according to the plain shot of the Gemara, that is Asur Midaraisa, Shem Elohim Acherim Yisham Alpicha. At which point Rosenzweig said he's probably right, and then we ended the question. So there are halachic nafkaminas to this question, right? You shouldn't cause anybody to worship Avodah Zarah. So question two is we're going to have to figure out to what extent is the issue here Avodah Zarah or not. The third question we have to figure out is whatever the nature of the prohibition is it Daraisa or Darabanan? Because the Gemara quotes the Pasuk. Now, the Pasuk might be Daraisa, or it might be what we call an Asmachta, which, leaving out the Ritva for a moment, the consensus view amongst most Rishonim, that just means it's a mnemonic, right? It's meant to remind you, right? Help you as a hint to the Halacha, but really it is a rabbinic prohibition. Now, what is the Nafkamina? What's the implication to whether something is Daraisa or Darabanan? And this is what you mentioned. Eva. Right? Is that the Gemara throughout Avodah Zarah says if something's going to cause animosity, so then you're allowed to waive the rabbinic laws. Right? But if it's Daraisa, so even if it would cause animosity, you couldn't waive it. So we have to figure out whether the Gemara is actually Daraisa or not. Okay, so that's the questions we have on the Gemara. Now, the sentiment in this Gemara appears many places in Shas. To quote a famous Agadic example number 2, the Gemara trying to figure out why the entire Megillah story happened. Right? Why do the Jews deserve to be destroyed? The Gemara says, why did they deserve to be destroyed? Samar lahem, imru atem. So he said to them, you answer. Amru lo, mibnei shenenu misidasa shalsa rasha, because they benefited from the meal of Achashverosh. Right? So this sentiment, this opposition to parties with non-Jews, with Nachrim, has a...
Russia.
What?
Russia.
Well, yeah, has implications, but right. I mean, yes, Achashverosh is a Russia, right? The at least the Gemara assumes that. That's, you know, probably a good read of the Megillah. But it has implications halachically, hashkafically, in many places in Chazal. Okay, so let's try to answer. We're going to have to try to answer two questions at once, right? We're going to have to start with the questions of the second and third question. Yeah,
and that's a wild thing. Describe that. Mida connected midas is huge. I mean, what?
Yes, but that's a share from another.
But it was Gemara that said it.
No, but I understand it. It's kind of like a vermeza to some problem, something else. But
okay, so what I want to do is try to answer question 2 and 3 together, right? the question of the Oraisa and the Rabbanan is going to partially hang on whether this is about Avodah Zarah or not, right? Because it's in the middle of this context of all these gzeros atu Avodah Zarah or atu chasnos, but here is the only time you get a pasuk,
but number
right?
One, he never said he was going back initially. He just said he was waiting after 12 months, because for 12 months he was mad, and after 12 months he went back to see it. He went back for business.
Right. So, I mean, it's clear there's some limit where it's mutter, but whatever the prohibition is, right, once we establish the nature of the prohibition and the level of the prohibition, then we have to figure out its parameters, right? But first, to start with that basic question, right, is it d'oraisa d'rabbanan? What is its reason? And then the one big nafkamina of that question is, will it be mutter because of Eva, is what we're going to analyze first, because that's going to be the place where Halacha, as you will find in many Kitzur Svarim, goes in one direction, but there's good reason to think that it's wrong. And we'll see why that is. I'm not saying it is wrong, I'm just saying there's good reason to think it's wrong, and Rav Shechter agreed with me when we discussed this. But you know,
it's all how you present the question.
What?
We all know that. You get the answer you want. Depends how you ask.
Just for the people on Wayu Terah, that was Rav Shechter's son.
Is this being recorded?
Okay, thank you, Yami. Well, you can go back and phrase it differently. If you get a different answer, you know,
Dad, I'm sorry.
That's fine with me. Okay. Okay. So the drisha in number three assumes that A, this is Darabonan, and since it is Darabonan, or at least he is Mesupak, right? He's not sure. He assumes it might be Darabonan, and he knows that if it is Darabonan, it would be Mutter if it would cause animosity. But he notes that it's not clear. It might actually be Da'araisa. So he says as follows, Tzarech Iyun, Enemer Gam Sham Bahai, Mutter Mishum Eva, Lesmoch Imo, Kimash Gazov La'el Sof Simen Kuf Memches. Do we say here as well that it is Derabanan, and therefore it is waived for animosity for Eva? Odilma Shiny Hasam Dialf Mikar. Do we say this one is different because it's biblical? And he's referring to number four, right, where the Torah says that Akum Aholech, Litarpot, Perish, Litos Mera, Chokrev, a non-Jew is going to for business. Ba'alicha Azar Lasses Ima, when he's going, so you can't do business with him. Bechazar Amotu, when he comes back, you can. And the Gemara, then the Torah quoting the Gemara brings many, many different details to this halacha. But then the Gemara says, but this is only with a non-Jew, She'enu Makiro. It's a non-Jew you don't know. Aval Makiro, but if you know the non-Jew, so then Mutter. Bibnei Shehu Kimachniflo, because it is like you're ingratiating yourself with him. Vitanya nichnas la'ir matzam smeichim smeichisam b'meishu shehu shehi kemachnif lahem. And in general, if you come into a city and they're rejoicing, so you're allowed to rejoice with them because it's like ingratiating yourself. It's related to Eva, meaning you don't want them, especially people you know, to feel animosity. If you don't know him at all, so you have no relationship, but he's not going to get angry. If he has a relationship, so then you should avoid it, and you can waive the prohibition. Therefore, for Eva. So the drisha is unclear whether this halacha would also be like that or not.
Would it not make a difference? It was dependent of avodas
kochavim. Yes.
If it's mishum chasnas.
Yes. So this would presumably be true if it was mishum avodah zarah, because right, all of the dirabanan's mishum avodah zarah in Maseches Avodah Zarah are waived because of Eva, right? But this one might be different. Now, if it's chasnos derabbanan, it might also be different. But if it's chasnos d'oraisa, which we'll see in a moment is what the Taz thinks, then it wouldn't be waived. Then it wouldn't be waived so easily for Eva. So let's look at now Shulchan Aruch and the Taz and the Kuzei Kesef and see how this develops in Psak. So Shulchan Aruch summarized the halacha as well. Ovid kochavim osem mishta l'chupas b'no obito. Right. So here we get explicitly the wedding. Right. A non-Jew makes a wedding for his son or his daughter. Asur l'Yisrael l'achlo sham l'achol sham. So the Jew can't eat there. Afilo ochel mishalo mishamish mishalo omen alav mishamish. Right. Even if you're eating your own food and you have your own waiter. Umeimasai asur. And when does it become prohibited? Mishiyaska l'achan sarchei hatsuuda. From when you start preparing for the wedding, what Shulchan Aruch, what the Gemara had called when you start brewing the beer. And after the party, 30 days. But if he tells you 6 months later that this is a belated celebration for the wedding, also Yud Beis Chodesh. So then it's still prohibited for 12 months. But after 12 months it's permitted, unless you're an Adam Chashim, and then you should be Machmir.
But this is only Negat to parties, specifically, right?
Correct. So far we've gotten to parties. We haven't yet explained what a party is. We've drawn the outer limit, that it's a big party. What the other limit's going to be, we haven't talked about yet. Like I said, that's question one that I raised, but really three that we're dealing with. Then the Shulchan Aruch continues, but if he sends it to you, right, he sends you the food, right, you're not eating there. He sends you, oh, I wanted, you know, to have some dessert from my party, so that's totally mutter, right? You're not in the party, you're just getting a, you know, whatever, a goodwill package from the wedding, that's fine.
Along the lines of what we said last time, that yeah, drink the beer according
right,
to
exactly, right.
Outside?
Correct, right, it's right, either outside or at your house, right, again, that aspect seems to be contextual, which makes sense, because Mesibot, definitionally, is contextual, right, you're eating it with them, you're partying with them. Okay, now the Tazir...
Can you go there without eating or drinking? Can you get the bar? Can you get the chassanet without
drinking? Maybe, but probably not, because the Gemara had said that you violate Mishas Kriya. As soon as you accept the invitation, then you already violate. So while Shechar was helped by not drinking, Mesibot sounds like it's not helped, because the Gemara says you violate from when you RSVP. Right? You aren't even there yet, but the second you become part of the Simcha, or at least in advance of the Simcha. Post to the Simcha doesn't seem to be true, but in advance of the Simcha it seems to be us. Okay. Now the Taz here says something surprising. And the Taz says, Bedrisha nistapik yesh bekan heter mishum eva. The Drisha wasn't sure if, like the other prohibitions, you could waive this one because of animosity. And now he has some harsh words for the Drisha. And he says, Vitamahani el gava rabba de kava se yistapek baze. I'm shocked that someone as great as the Drisha could even have a doubt about this. Share zem furash bipasuk shlamdu mikra ukra ukara lechava chaldim yizivcho. This is a biblical law. Umifurash, and then he takes it even farther and he says, and now what's the reason for the biblical law? Mufurash birosh oso pasuk. It says the beginning of the pasuk, pentichros brisli ushevar. It's vizanu acharei binosehen. That the reason you don't want to go to their party is because you might create a covenant with them, which he reads as haresha torah tzivtashi yelanu eva imahem. That the Torah commands you to have a certain level of animosity, distance with them. Mishum harchakas binosehen, because of the concern of intermarriage. The heich natir mishum eva. How can you waive this prohibition because of animosity? V'lo matzinu heter mishum eva ela heich hashamitz mishum davar acher. You can only waive it from eva if the concern was it's a gzera, whatever, that he might worship idols. But if it's about creating distance, so you can't waive a prohibition that's about creating distance by claiming it's creating distance. That was the point to begin with. It was meant to drive a wedge. You can't say, how can it be prohibited? It's driving a wedge. And that was the point. It's driving a wedge. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. Masha enkin kan sh'ikra ha-mitzvah shel isra achila gufa humishum shelo yihye lanu imahem ahava. The whole point, now it's a little bit softer, right? Not that we should hate them or whatever, but that there shouldn't be love. Right? He's using Eva, I think, more rhetorically, right? He's saying you can't waive it because of Eva, because this is on the same continuum as Eva. The point is,
but if you don't have Eva, you're going to have Ahava.
Right, meaning it's on the concern really is you don't want to love them, you don't want to be too ingratiated. How can you waive it because of Eva? And then he jumps and says he thinks this is true of the Derabbanan laws as well. That whenever the Derabbanan laws are about chasnos, you also can't waive them because of Eva. It's only the ones that are for Avodah Zarah that you can, but the ones that are Mishum chasnos, you can't. Now, whether that's true is not obvious, right? Right? You would think it's true, and it might be true. It's definitely true of biblical law. It might be true of Minhag law, but he says it's true of both. Okay. Fine. What? I mean, pre-Matan Torah, we can't ask any questions, you know.
cites most of its references and things from most of its based on.
Right, but we don't really learn things from before Matan Torah. When we do, it's
didn't we say last week to his house, and he gives you a beer. You should drink it.
Right, so that seems to be the other. Now that's right. That's a kasha on the Taz, because that one is clearly about chasnus and the Gemara. But at least the way Tosfos understands it, and Shulchan Aruch understands it, is it is. Right, so I mean, we could always say there's a difference between Ava and Ava. He doesn't want to. Right, one could easily have said you don't want to create Ava, but you can waive it if it's going to create actual animosity. Right, the line between creating positive love and avoiding actual animosity, right? There's a lot in between, right? The Taz is assuming they're the same thing. One could have just responded, no.
It specifically said Mishum Eva.
Correct, and it also said Mishum Chasnos, right? Right. So the Taz on the Derabanan, I'm not convinced, is right, because you could just say, look, the point is that we want to avoid Ava, but we don't want to create Ava. So we draw the line somewhere in between. But it's true, but what he is right about is that if it's D'Oraisa, if this is biblical, then you couldn't waive it. You can't waive biblical law in the same way. So, hold thought just for a second. Now, this comes down to the question of, is this or is this not biblical? Right? So, the Taz says it's biblical. The Drisha is not sure. And the Shach, in 7, in Kutzak Kesef, says that it is not. Right, he says, "Lo kashem ida d'mayin b'shas yiratama isra mishum da'azol modi v'azol modi sharin mishum eva." Ukras machlav alma. The Shach simply says, "Well, this is derabanan, and it's really about avodah zarah. This is the Taz said that only things which we're concerned that it's going to cause avodah zarah. So it's a derabanan and derabanan derabanan whatever that we can waive for animosity. Well, guess what? That's this. We're just worried that he's going to thank his idol. He's going to worship his idol because you came to his party. You're enhancing his Avodah Zarah-like celebration. And therefore, just like every other Zera up to Avodah Zarah, like not doing business during their holiday season, is waived for Eva. So this is also waived for Eva. Teida vadel mechavin malchus amochel b'mishto v'kohom. He said, how do I know? Because you don't get malchus. Right? So it must be Darabana and it's not Daraisa. Okay. So now, if we stopped here, right? If we stopped here, so we would say the Taz says it's D'Oraisa, can't be waived for Eva, so therefore you can't take into concerns of animosity. So any response, let's take the case of Shulchan Aruch, where you're invited to your co-worker's wedding, right? And it's going to cause animosity, according to the Taz, too bad, right? Just too bad, right? Business parties, we haven't gotten to yet, but weddings, off limits, right? Shach, mutter. Right? Because it's going to create animosity. It's Eva. Drisha? Not sure.
The wedding is off limits because it's Avodah Zarah?
No. Because according to the Taz, it's D'Oraisa. It has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. It's a D'Oraisa of Pentechros Bris, right? We don't want you to create a relationship with them, and that's D'Oraisa. Right? So the Taz, no exceptions. They want to create animosity. That's all there is to it. So it's going to create animosity. Good. Right? Which is a bit of an extreme formulation, but that's the Taz. Shach, all the way to the other extreme, no, it's going to create animosity. So fine, so go, Zeu, that's it. It's done. Drisha, not sure. Okay. If we stopped here, if we just stopped here, so what normally happens in Psak, especially in Yerideya, is like this. You open up Shulchan Aruch, you look at the Shach, you look at the Taz becomes an interesting academic point, and we pass them like the Shach, right? More than nine times out of ten, people give all types of interesting reasons for that, like metaphysical reasons and you know, psychological reasons, right? Or like Mida can get Mida reasons, because the Rav apparently used to say this, that the Taz didn't want to give a haskama to the Shach, so Hashem made it that we always pass on a Shach. I don't know what that means. But okay, whatever that means, it happens to be that we tend to paskin like the Shach over the Taz in most cases. So if you just looked at that, you would say, okay, it's very simple, right? Shach, Taz. Taz is important, but if the Shach gives a kula and says it's mutter, mishum eva, so that's all there is to it. So even weddings, which is the case of the Gemara, is going to create animosity between you and your co-worker, so now it's mutter. Okay. Problem is as follows. Now, the Shach supports his position based on 9. Based on Rashi, where Rashi says, "Uvein lo amar lo mistama lihilula mechavein v'aser dekoli mehilula makrav ovus kochavim." He says that Rashi seems to imply that this is about Avodah Zarah, because he says, "What's going to happen? Probably during the holiday, he's going to go and he's going to worship his idols." Okay. So he notes that from Rashi, it sounds like him. Rashi doesn't weigh in whether it's D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan, but it sounds like this is a classic D'Rabbanan mishum Avodah Zarah rule. Now, the Shach, though, thinks that Rashi is indicative of all Rishonim. The problem is, he seems to be indicative of almost no Rishonim. And the Rishonim seem to go in the opposite direction, like the Taz. So if you look in 10 and 11, you'll find that the Ravid, for example, in Chidushi Ravid and Avodah Zarah, says as follows. Hilchach Telsin Yomen, Perish. Kaven to Misha Ochel and Magoi B'Mishcha Shalom Isser Da'oraisehu. Since the prohibition is biblical, Tilsin Yomen Machar Mishcha Osir Lechalimo. So then even 30 days afterwards, you can't eat with him. Avalis of Litin Yomen Boter, but you can still do business with him. Dechshash Adarabonanu, Shemayakar Yomenu Avodah Zarah, because doing business is only rabbinic. O Shemayoda V'Lochashin and El Osra Yom. So the Ravid says explicitly, this is biblical. The Ritva goes farther and says exactly what the Taz says. He says, "Vade the Hakikam Rachmana." This is what the Torah is telling you. Mishas Kriya Malani Alecha Kiilu Achalta Mizevchom Mamish. The second you accept the invitation, it's as if you ate a carbon to Avodah Zarah. V'chein Halacha, and that's what we paskin. V'afilu Bizman Hazeh Aser V'lo Chayshin LeEva. This is the Halacha nowadays, and we don't care about Eva. Kaven D'Isura D'Araisohi V'Kiilu Ochel Tikrovet Avodah Zarah. It's as if you ate a carbon to an idol. Period. End of story. Biblical. You can't wave it for Eva. Umiu Hanimilik Shalach Beis Anachri. That's only if you go to the house. But if he sends it to you, so that's not a daraisa problem. LSU derabanan. So then it's derabanan. Kain mishna seinu mishum dazim modla. But zarav is manazem motar. Nowadays we can waive that one, and that's part of a longer tradition, right? That since our idolaters are not real idolaters for whatever reason, which is beyond, you know, why exactly we assume that. So derabanan laws we can be more makil on. So sending it to your house is at best derabanan. Once it's derabanan, we can waive it. But the daraisa of actually going to the party remains usser. Okay.
Why is if he sends you something from the same suit of your house, that not the kodesh on his
own? So it sounds like because the drasha is v'karalicha, yeah. Right? That it's something, it's the context makes it as if it's Avodah Zarah, right?
But the
it's
contextual the, part was that we discussed earlier was really in terms of chasms. So take the context out of it, you don't have a chasms.
Correct, but
the
Taz thinks that it's, that the kielu to grow Avodah Zarah means that it's daraisa to create a situation of chasnas, right? Meaning it's not really.
You're in the room, you eat it?
That's how the Taz and the Ritva seem to understand it, right? That it's being in a Avodah Zarah party.
Then that's
right. That it's that context exactly. It's that context, or but I mean, no, well, it's two things. It's either being invited to it and accepting it, right, or going. But post facto, so it's already done with leftovers, right? Leftovers. He's being nice. It doesn't have the same. I don't know if that's true, but fine.
Right.
Okay.
You're hung up on Bachacham Zivcho, Bachacham Zivcho.
Right. That's what the Ritva says. That's what the Taz says. Okay. So now...
On that basis, the whole Stam Yenom and Yai Nesach today should be okay. Because even if they did it, the fact that's in my house.
Right. So that might be different because it was formulated as an Isser that it's actually not kosher. Right. That's how it's formulated. Right. Yai Nesach. Right. But we do distinguish between Negia... And right, Negiya of it, which the Yisra Hanan, the Yisra Achila. The Yisra Achila we maintain. But we say that our non idolatrous of the Avazar, if they touch it, it's still Mutar Bahana. When we waive part of the Yisra, not right, we like split it.
So,
right?
So you can go to a bar. I saw something.
No, that was last week. That was right. That
no,
was,
no, I understand.
Well, last time, whenever that was.
Last year. And someone pours you a glass of non kosher wine, and you're not going to drink it because you can't drink it. But you could sit there and pretend to smoke
correct.
It and whatever, and that's
right.
Okay.
So right.
No problem with this or not.
Right, all types of things on Recha, but sure. Right, I mean, one of the classic sugyas of it is Recha, possibly us as wine, but I don't want to get into Recha. Okay, fine. So now how do we paskin? Right, now we've complicated the position, because now we see that the Ritva, and we have Rashi, we have a diuk in Rashi, versus two explicit Rishonim, like the Taz. So now what do we do? So the first question we have to ask methodologically is, okay, well, why didn't the Shach know about the Ravid and the Ritva? The simple answer to that question is, why didn't he know about the Ravid and the Ritva? He didn't have the Ravid and the Ritva. Right? He didn't have it. Right? He didn't have the manuscripts. Okay. So, there's a famous Chazon Ish, which no one knows what it says, and he said different things at different points, and multiple articles have been written since he died trying to figure out what he ever actually said. But there's a sheet that is attributed to the Chazon Ish, which may or may not be the position of the Chazon Ish, and may have not been his position consistently, that new Rishonim, right, you can't Paskin like. New manuscripts we show them, you don't Paskin like. They weren't part of the Mitzvah of Psak. Okay. So according to the Chazon Ish, you might be tempted to say that here, look, we normally pasken like Shach against Taz. So whatever Yisharim the Shach and Taz has are important. Whatever Yisharim they didn't have are not important. And therefore, we still pasken like the Shach against the Taz. There are two critiques against this claim. One is we may not... that Chazanish may never have said it, and even if he didn't, we may not pasken like it. Right? That's possibility one. Right? But a bigger... there's a bigger problem in this particular case where I think even the Chazanish would be moda. Because the Chazanish says as follows. The Chazanish says that there was a Mesorah... they're not Masorah. There's a Hashkacha Pratis from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that whatever Rishonim we had as Pesach was being formulated in Shachar Aruch and Osei Kelim is, right, there was a Hashkacha Pratis, God ordained it that would be entered into the canon of Pesach. And anything that wasn't, God didn't want it to be Pesach. So that would work
like
if... yeah. So that would work if the Ravid or the Ritva had vanished from the history of Pesach.
Isn't that but the issue they have with the Meiri?
Yeah, well, that's where it's always brought up, the Meiri. Right? There's a problem here. Is that the Ashkenazi Achronim didn't have it, but the Sephardi Achronim, A, had the Ravid and the Ritva, and B, because they had the Ravid and the Ritva, always paskened like the Ravid and the Ritva. Right? There's no break in the Sephardi tradition. So it's hard to say that there's a Mesorah that we lost the Ravid and the Ritva when there was not just they had it, there was a live tradition of Pesach to follow the Ravid and the Ritva, right? Because they had the Ravid and the Ritva. So you have the Taz saying we should paskin like this without having it, and you have the Sephardi poskim who have the Rishonim and have kept their tradition alive. So now what do you have? You have the Rishonim kept alive in the Sephardi tradition, plus the Taz, versus the Shach, who didn't see the Rishonim and thought the only voice was a diuk he had in Rashi. When you frame it that way, right, which one is a better argument in Pesach? Depends how much weight you give to the Shach. But now there's a good reason to think we should pasken like the Taz over the Shach.
Because the tree falls in the forest and it really is heard in the end.
Right. So this was my argument to Reshechter. And now we get to when I discuss it with Reshechter, right? That even according to Chazon Ish, right, in this particular case, where that position was kept alive in the Stei Chemed, and that position was kept alive in Chesed Avraham, and it was kept alive in the Erech HaShulchan, not the Erech HaShulchan, the Erech HaShulchan, right? In all these Sephardi Achronim that you can't find unless you go and find the horrible printings from the manuscripts, right? But they were quoted in Sephardi Achronim Ledore Doros, and there was no break, right? They always paskin, like the Rive and their Dva, because they had them.
But if they had them, didn't the Beis Yosef have them when he wrote the Shulchan?
Possibly, but he doesn't necessarily quote every single sheet of the Rishon.
So he would have paskin like it.
Well, he doesn't weigh in, right? I mean, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say one way or the other.
He doesn't comment on this?
Right, I mean, Shulchan Aruch, I gave you the whole siman, right? The whole siman is number 5.
Right here.
Right, he doesn't weigh in on whether it's Mutter Mishum Eva, and I didn't say it's Darais Darabani, quote
the
Gemara.
She wouldn't have made it into the canon of Allah.
Well, not necessarily, right? Meaning,
if the Chazon
Ish said it, which who knows what the Chazon Ish said? Okay, I mean, the Chazon Ish definitely said something that resembled that sometimes. Whether he said it all the time, I have no idea.
Does the Beis Yosef say anything? I guess not.
The Beis Yosef doesn't say anything, right? So, so this is at least a middle case where it's not so obvious that we can just say, okay, we paskin like the Shach. So what do we have so far? So, what we have so far. is we have the Shach and Taz with a good reason to paskin like the Taz, right? But we have a Shach to rely on if we really need it, right? That's what we have so far, but the Shach here is much weaker than it normally is. Now, one more set of Makaros before we pull it all together. Okay, so then the Rambam also may give us a little bit of room. It's not totally clear. So the Rambam says, he has two halachos on this. One, in 12, he says, V'yesham dvarim achirim aserosam chachamim v'alpi she'ein yisurun ikram min ha-Torah gazra alein kadesh yisrachim min ha-akam atchal yisarvu behen yisrav yavol l'dechas. So there are all these things, the Rabbanan, that Chazal instituted to prevent intermarriage. Keitzad lo yishta adam m'siv yishal akum. Don't be part of their parties, right? Don't drink at their parties. That was Sheikhar Akum, right? V'afal pishu yan mevushal, sheno nezer, shosem mekelev levado, v'im rova mesiba yisrael mutter. But if most of the party is Jews, so then it's mutter. In 13, he says, ovid kol chavim sh'asr levno levito mishte asr lehanesh misudaso. If he makes a wedding, it's asr, v'kol ha'chakaz mipnei avoda shel kol chavim hu, sh'nemar v'kara lechom v'achaldim b'zivcho v'lachachim v'nosav. So the Rambam, first of all, seems to think there's two separate Isurim. One Mishum of Adazara and one Mishum Chasnos, right? So that complicates things already, because it seems like both are right, which means that we may not be able to waive it according to the Rambam. I don't know, right? But everyone tries to figure out the Rambam.
I think they do the same I think he's saying it's the same.
Well, maybe, but it's in two very different places. One is in Machlokes Aseres, one's in Hilchos Chachamim. Okay, now the Ramach maintains a tradition, right? When I said all the Rishonim said it was Aser, it's not totally true. The Ramach maintains that the minhag in Provence was to be Mekil. And the Ramach, right, Rav Moshe HaKohen, writing in the Rambam in 14, writes, Mikol Makom Einanu Zharin Mizeh, we are not careful about this. Sha'anu Shosin, we drink and we don't worry about it. The Eish Lomar ki right Gary Lo Aser El Al Yedei Kriya Vizimum, and he says why?
Saw the chicks in Provence.
So he says why is it? So he says maybe we only prohibit wedding-like ceremonies where there is an invitation. Right, and he says maybe that's prohibited. So the Ramach highlights two things. One, he notes that the implication of the Rambam is that what does he think the parameters of the prohibition are according to Rambam? All parties. Right, because the Ramach says, look, we don't agree with the Rambam, but maybe weddings are usher, which tells you that what does he think is going on in Provence? Weddings might be usher. People aren't going to weddings, but they are going to small parties. Now, he thinks that's mutter, but the Rambam clearly thinks it's not. Right, because the Rambam doesn't say only mishtet she'osa livno. In 12, he says that in 13, but not in 12. In 12, he just says misiba shalakum. You can't be at any party.
Maybe he's
right.
From the fact that he already said
probably not, because the parameters are different. Right, the parameters are different. So he highlights two things. So then, fine. So then, what are the parameters? So right now, the halacha we'd have to answer is okay. Deraisa derabanan eva not eva, and then we have to figure out okay. Well, where do we fall in the spectrum of what type of party is a party that is prohibited? Okay, which brings us to 15, which is the last thing we'll see inside, and then my summary, because it gets too complicated, so I just gave it to you, so in case we don't get to all of it, you have a summary in English. So Rav Moshe was asked, okay, what about parlor meetings, right? This was when we mentioned the end last week. But Davar Lasa's parlor meeting, Vaveis Nachrim, Aflitzer 15, right? What?
To raise money for St. Mary's.
Yeah, whatever. Aflitzer. So he says, no, he's even a Jew to do it in the non-Jew's house. I don't know, right? You have a joint charity, I don't know. Okay, he says Aflitzarich mitzvah near the Aser. He says you can't do a parlor meeting. So what? I don't want to weigh in on Toronto sock politics. This is way above my pay grade. Okay, so he says, right? I can always be somewhat on the fact that Mara says you can't pass until you're 40. So I got 12 years to go. So so the Gemara says,
everyone feels so much older.
Yeah, thanks what? For that.
What? Okay, sorry. So the Gemara says, "Alitzar mitzvah near Shasser." Mishum sheika itzer lasas mishtos beveis nachrim, because it says you can't do a parliament because you can't make a party. Av lechol shem dvarma mutarim litzar shechar v'yain straf umash mutarim, even to eat mutter things. Shai also bishvil zeh litzar shechar v'yishol nachrim. He said, now he goes back to last week. He said, why was it usher? Why did Chazal prohibit drinking with non-Jews? Because they were worried you were going to party with them. That tells you that what's obviously usher, partying, and that isn't talking about a wedding, because it's talking about being in a bar. Right? That's not a wedding. It's pretty clear that the line is somewhere past, right, somewhere less extreme than wedding. Right? Shuashi is keva, it's kidi isa, babu dezara, lamed aleph, and it's chazar, yargalas, and shows it's akum vitin in a bivito. Vechem and shudover iser, lo shaykh, lahatar, filosarach mitzvahs, you can't be a matri even for a mitzvah. Below dummy zelim and achri atmos and mishta lays a simcha shalom, masman ezihudishim, lo yucholishtamute, rashai lelech, vegam lishtas, mashkin mutar, and shumishum eva. But then Ramosha says, but wait a second. To go, he'll be willing to be mekel for Eva, like the shach, right? But for you to do it, vashia nechshav mele arayival, a parlor meeting, areyu osin bechavona yudim vezanachir shezein lahatir. But if you're going to make the party, so then it's not mishum Eva, you could just say, I'm not going to make the party, right? Well, it didn't come, right? Or come up with a different venue, do it in a restaurant, whatever it might be, do it in a hall. Medavar Shiudim wrote some lasos banquet lechvod nachri beze ulam, but you want to do it in a banquet hall, right? In a catering hall, whatever, for lechvod and non-Jew. Kedei shavo b'shvil har be'orchem is not the shvil of our mitzvah. Ein lo mashu ze isra mami. That I don't think is really usher. But he still doesn't like it. It's disgusting. Okay.
Because
it's not technically usher. It's not in the right. It's not his party, right? So he doesn't love it, but he says that's mutter. So we gain a few things from Moshe. First of all, we see there are Moshe thinks that whatever is usher is something more expansive than wedding parties, but he doesn't draw the line exactly. But he passes like a shach that it's mutter mishum chasna, mishum eva, right? But he still doesn't totally flesh it out. So the last thing you have to do is now put all the pieces together and figure out what parties goes in it and how can you matter it. So in 16, I summarize it. Okay,
what? Ramesh is saying when you make a party
for even making a party for him, it can't be tested.
And you make a party in a hall.
Right.
Yeah. He doesn't like it, but it's okay.
If right. Because that's technically what. Why he doesn't like it, I'm not sure.
What's the Devar Makor? What's the issue?
Honoring the guy.
He doesn't. Right. I don't. Is that or something like that? I'm not really sure. Okay.
No, it's in his house.
Okay.
That's different.
The problem is in his house.
Okay, so let's just bring it now down to halacha. Okay, so now, what are the parties? So in 16, I summarize it here, okay? The Levush argues that prohibition only applies to formal celebrations, but not social gatherings, and is understood by some to mean that it is because only the formal will cause the nachri to thank his God. Okay, so there are some, like the Levush, who says that, who are more makil than emotion, say the only thing that's also based on the Gemara is formal celebrations, weddings, and the like. Okay.
And the assumption that they're religious.
No, that we don't assume. It has nothing to do with that, because at the end of the day, it's a formal prohibition.
With all
right?
Of this, you still have to make
now, the next position, now, Rav Avraham Alkalai agrees with you, which is the next line. Rav Avraham Alkalai in the Tshuvas Chesed Lavram argues that the prohibition seems to be only about idolatry and even suggests that it only applies to idolaters and not Muslims. He's living in a Muslim land. He notes, however, that the Rishonim did not distinguish and therefore backs down and rules that the prohibition is about chasnos and applies to all nachrim. So while there are some who think that maybe it should only be idolaters, in the end of the day, that's not actually nifsak lahalacha. Then we, in theory, have the shach to say, okay, but even a wedding you could be makil based on chasnos, but as we noted, relying on the shach is difficult. Okay, this I already mentioned. Fine. Now, what types of parties? Next paragraph. So the Rambam addresses this prohibition in two places, right? In Hilchos Malchus Asuras, while discussing the prohibition of Sheikhar, he prohibits any social gatherings that are not primarily Jewish, basing the prohibition on chasnos. Now, the Mishnah Melech notes that this is a rabbinic concern. Rav Moshe Feinstein argues that Rambam derived this expansion from the concept of chasnos itself. This position emerges as well from many of the Rishonim mentioned above, who claim that Sheikhar was prohibited so the Jews would not eat at the party of Nachrim. If that is the motivation for Sheikhar, so all parties should be prohibited. Now, Tur and Beis Yosef seem both to accept the position of Rambam. The Beis Yosef, however, assumed the source was some brisa that we did not have, because the Mishnah, however, he assumes is an expansion of the passage of Odeh Zarah. So Shulchan Aruch does not cite the prohibition, and only mentions the prohibition of formal parties such as weddings. So one could have challenged the extension of Rambam if one thought the prohibition was only because of idolatry, and only formal celebrations caused the idol worshiper to serve his gods. And this was how Avraham Alkalai understood Lavush's dispensation for regular social gatherings. However, if one...
Where do you get that from? Because in the Gemara itself, it talks about you could sell them anything. You could sell them a chicken.
Right. But in the party one, it doesn't. It talks about.
No, but since you can go and do it for other minor things, you can say it's for my Avodah Zarah. Oh, that's a
okay.
That's odd.
I mean, it's an ambiguous passage. So, but then he says, if one thought the passage of Avodah Zarah was about chasnos, then one could still claim that even the prohibition is limited to parties that are formal and have invitations. The Talmud implies Brahman was still partially because of the kriya, the invitation, and this position was taken by Moshe HaKohen, as we saw. Now, a middle. Then I note that some could suggest a middle position, right, which is basically any formal party is prohibited if, right, even if the Jews are the majority or eat at separate tables, because the very acceptance and invitation of these events is problematic. But all social gatherings are permitted in the correct context, which, according to the Rambam, is where Jews are primary. And second, social gatherings are permitted if the Jews sit at separate tables, even if they are minority. These exceptions are accepted by Rav Avraham Alkalai and the Pri Chadash. Furthermore, the former prohibition is likely not mitigated if one does not eat at the party, while the latter is. Thus, Nachri weddings would seem to be prohibited, right, even if it would cause offense, unless you pass them like shach, as the very acceptance of the invitation is problematic, but purely social gatherings would be subject to the qualifications above. However, if despite the complexities that arise with the position of shach, you assume the position, right, and you assume the position of Rashi, one could permit even weddings if not attending would cause offense, right? So in the end, what you would have is that you have some, right, who think that it's only weddings, everything's sort of, you don't even need a het there, right? Weddings, the shach and Rav Moshe say it's mutter, maybe Rashi says it's mutter, the Taz, the Sfardi poskim, and the Riva and the Ritva say the wedding can't be mutter under any circumstances. So there, it's the hardest to be makil because you have a potential issa daraisa. Everything short of the wedding, right? So then you have a lot more room to make it because you have people draw the lines at different places. Either it's only formal gatherings, right?
And because
but not social gatherings.
Why? Because it's standing on the point on the wedding of not for vodazara but rather for chasnas.
Correct. Midoraisa. The karalacha v'achal demizuvcho. Okay. Now what about office parties? So Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachos thought that this is aser. Based on Taz, that even office parties are aser. When I spoke to Rav Shechter quickly, he thought this might be true. But he thought making an appearance would be less problematic. But lingering would be problematic. Okay, so that's some sort of middle position. Rav Bleich, when I asked him, thought it depended on whether what type of office party was. Is it a party where they send formal invitations or one where they sign hang up a sign? Right? He said, since the Gemara qualifies it and said the type of parties are also the ones you send a formal invitation, so if it's the type where you just post a sign and hope people show up, so it's not formal enough. If it's the one you send a formal invitation to, which he thought was even an email, but I could hear why it might not be true, right? Would be problematic. Now other leniencies. The Beis Yosef actually writes that a party can be as small as two people. Okay, the Aruch HaShulchan rejects that, and it seems reasonable that two people is a meeting and not a social gathering. Okay, so now let's just wrap it all up. I have my conclusion here, but I'll say it outside. Okay, so now if we take it all together, right? Barring last week's discussion of alcohol, what do you have? So you have weddings, right? So weddings, according to the Taz, the Sfardi poskim, the Ritva and the Ravid, even if it'll cause offense, are aser because asa midah raisa. But if one really, really needs to go to the wedding because it'll cause offense, so you have the Shach, you have Moshe Feinstein, and you potentially have Rashi to rely on, okay? Basic meetings, right, with this exception of this sort of strange line in the Beis Yosef, seems to be mutter. Now what about parties? So there's a lot of room to be makil in non-formal parties, right? Meaning ones that don't have invitations, right? Show up, socialize, that seems to be mutter, right? Because it's according to many. Not according to everybody, but according to the Levush. According to others, it's not the type of party which is in the context of the karalecha, of him formally inviting you.
What happens if it's a party organized by Jews, the majority are non-Jews?
Right, so parties organized by Jews on our turf, right, seem to be, according to the Rambam, still also because you need majority Jews, but one could argue that it's mutter because it has to be a non-Jewish party, right? That's where you get this ambiguity. Now, where exactly you draw the line is unclear, right? You have some who think that office parties are not in this context at all. I didn't put it on this one. I put it on last week's, right, that the Chaim Hirschenfeld, I think, is a Rosh Kollel in Cleveland, I think, argues that this whole sugya doesn't apply to business parties because the whole point is here it's about socializing. And business parties, you just think, don't fall in it at all because they're not social. Right? By definition, they're not social. Right? They are business. Right? What? So that's always the response I get from people who have actually gone to business parties is that obviously they are social.
Especially in Montreal.
Okay. Right. They actually are social.
It's no business.
So that may or may not work. So without poskening, just again, so just outlining the positions and where they come from, right, so you get the whole range, right? You have those who basically think anything short of a wedding is mutter legamre, and some who think that even the wedding is mutter if it's going to cause animosity, because this was really an avodah zarah concern, not a friendship concern. It's an avodah zarah concern, so if it's going to cause animosity, it's mutter. That's the shach. Right? You have some who say, look, that's true. Weddings are a special category. Formal parties are a special category. But everything short of that is different. And then you have people who start arguing within all the business parties, less formal things, where exactly you draw the line. The more formal it is, right, the more it revolves around inviting specific people, the more complicated it gets. The less formal it is, the easier it gets. Where to actually draw the line, l'halacha, I'm not posketing, right? But just to outline where the shittas come from and the range of positions that exist to complement last one, Sheikh Harakum, right? That is the issue, at least as I see it in the sugya.
Yeah. Okay.